Hello, and welcome back to the Iowa Type Theory Commute. I'm Aaron Stump, and I'm starting to talk with you about subtyping. And the last episode, I told you a little bit why personally I'm interested in this, and I think why it's also generally interesting, because from a programming language design perspective, there are not so many languages that seem to have really gone all in on subtyping. Here are Haskells and OCaml's don't have subtyping at all. As far as I know, okay, as always with a big caveat. I can speak maybe a little more about Haskell, knowing a little more about that, but I don't believe, OCaml does have this object part with records, and it's typical to want to have some subtyping with records, so I can't say, maybe they have some subtyping there. But in the core of the language, the core of pure functional part, or just imperative functional part of OCaml, I don't believe has any subtyping. Please correct me if I'm wrong, and I'll share that on another episode. But definitely as far as I've seen, Haskell does not. And so it's sort of interesting, you know, why is that? And I'd like to kind of understand that better. And in the episodes, maybe we'll have some time to talk about that and think about that. So it's sort of interesting from a language design perspective, subtyping, and also just for utility, is it's letting us basically have the compiler infer some places where some little functions need to be called. Like if I have A as a subtype of B, I've got an A somewhere where it needs to be a B, then the compiler is going to figure out, oh, you've got an A, but this part of the code needs a B. No problem. A's can be turned into B's. And how do we turn them into B's? Well, there's, you know, some kind of coercion function behind the scenes that the programmer doesn't have to write or read or know about at all. They just know, oh, A is a subtype of B. Cool. The compiler is going to take care of that for me. And the compiler may take care of it for you by inserting a coercion to turn that value of type A into something of type B. One thing I wanted to talk in this episode just briefly about some basics of subtyping, properties of subtyping that we expect to see. And we expect subtyping as a relation to be reflexive. So we expect a subtype of A for any type A. That means if I have something of type A and I need something of type A, then hey, cool, I've got it. So that's going to be a property we always would expect. Our subtyping relations would always be reflexive, a subtype of A. Another thing we'd expect is that there would be transitive, right? If A is a subtype of B and B is a subtype of C, then we expect A to be a subtype of C. And intuitively, it's like if I have a value of type A and I have, again, one of these sort of implicit coercions that can turn A's into B's, and I have another implicit coercion that can turn B's into C's because B is a subtype of C, then by composing those coercions, right, the composition of those two coercion functions would be a function that takes an A and turns it into a C simply by performing each coercion in turn to go from A to B and from B to C. Okay, so we expect to have transitivity of subtyping. Another really important point that comes up with subtyping is what they call variance, and that is that certain type constructs or type constructors might interact with subtyping in a certain way. And the most basic one of these is function types. This is always a little tricky if you're new to subtyping. This part can seem strange, but say you've got two function types, like one of them is A arrow B, and the other one is A prime arrow B prime. Okay, now these are the A arrow B is a subtype of A prime arrow B prime. When is that true? And we're going to try to say when it's true by talking about the subtyping relationships of the domain parts, the A and the A prime, and the codomain parts, the B and the B prime, of these two function types. Okay, so it's pretty clear, you know, we can call the input and output parts of these types. It's pretty clear that the output types need to be in the subtyping relationship, right? So if I've got an A to B function and I need an A prime to B prime function, well, my A to B function can't give me any surprises, right? If it returns a B, that B better be something that could be coerced to a B prime, because I'm in some piece of my code where I'm expecting a function that returns a B prime. And if I want to give it a function that returns a B, I better know that B can be coerced to B prime. So to have these two function types in the subtyping relation, I need to have the output type parts, the B and the B prime, also in the subtype relation. So I'd need B subtype of B prime if I'm going to have A or B as a subtype of A prime or B prime. Okay. Now, the weird one, though, is that you flip around the input types. Okay. So if you want to have a function that takes A's as inputs, if you have one of those and you need a function that takes A primes as inputs, well, imagine how that this piece of code that is expecting an A prime function, a function with A prime inputs, how's that going to work? Well, it's going to be given an A prime. Now it wants to call your other function. Let's say the function is called F that takes A's to B's. And you want to have, you've got an A prime and you want to call that F on that A prime. Okay, so you need to take the A prime and convert it to an A before you can call that function, which means that A prime needs to be a subtype of A. Okay, so it's backwards, right? To be A or B, to be a subtype of A prime or B prime, you need to have A prime subtype of A, which always seems really weird until you think about it in this way of kind of like, well, you know, I need a function that can handle A primes as inputs, but I've got one that can handle A's as inputs. That means I better be able to turn A primes into A's so I can call that function. Okay, so that's, you know, that's kind of the main one. And we talk about these function types being covariant in the codomain part, the output type part. So that's the B subtype of B prime part, and contravariant in the A, in the input type part, the domain types. So that's the A prime subtype of A. So in some type constructors, right, various positions in the type constructor, we might have covariance, we might have contravariance. So the subtyping relations might be preserved in that position or might be flipped around. So take like list of A's. In at least in a pure functional language, if you have a list of ints, that can be converted to a list of reals. You know, pure functional language is kind of a little bit special that way because we can't, these are immutable lists. So basically all you can do is read out of that list. So if I've got a list of ints and I'm supposed to have a list of reals, that's no problem because every value I read out of the list that's an int can be coerced to a real. So list of ints is a subtype of list of reals. Similarly though, you know, you can have type constructors that are contravariant where the subtyping relationship gets flipped around just the way it did for function types. So, and it could also be invariant where there's just no subtyping relationship is possible there. And you would have to have the types be exactly the same, for the types to be, able to be related. Okay. So those are just some kind of basic things about subtyping before we go jump off into, you know, fancier questions about, in type inference with subtyping and this kind of thing. Okay. Thanks again for listening. Take care.